Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, do we have a song that's a tribute to the economy?
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream, with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built the tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. Let me just pop up here, and we'll give you our opening dialogue. And let me see what we got here. I got to go to my switchboard. And we're going to do, here we go.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. I just turned on the TV to watch Fox Business. It's probably around 10 o'clock this morning, and the market is rumbling. And they interviewed one of the traders on the floor, and the guy was livid. And he said, everybody is down here is chanting, Congress lied, the economy died. And what he's talking about is they passed a bill they didn't even read. So I'm going to give you my input on it for what it's worth. Congress lied, the economy died. That is the chant on Wall Street today. Gold is climbing to $1,000 an ounce. Hillary Clinton is lost in Japan, totally out of her element. And I'll tell you, the press didn't do her right. The only picture you saw of Hillary going to Japan, she's climbing the back ladder of an aircraft, and her back is to the cameras, and she looks tired. You know, they did it deliberately to hurt her. I don't love Hillary Clinton, but I know a sandbag job when I see it. And the press is going to bring her down. Okay? They're going to try and finish off the Clintons, who should be finished off. But I just don't like it when rats do it. I like it when good people do it. This is the chant on Wall Street today. Gold is climbing to $1,000 per ounce. Hillary Clinton is lost in Japan, totally out of her element. The Stick It To Us package is unread and ready to be signed. I'm surprised they did not let the blind sheikh, Abdul Rahman, sign it first. The words, drill baby drill, are no longer heard. We are living like Hitler's last days, waiting for the secret fuel weapon. If we allow oil to climb back over $25 a barrel, the economy will die. There will be no resurrection. The communists are against a nuclear energy. If we allow oil to climb back over $25 a barrel, the economy will die. And besides, OPEC has to pay for the war. And they can pay for the war. It was their war to save their necks, and they have to pay. Solar and wind are nice, but black gold warms us today. And you got a governor of Alaska who's dying to help, and they're afraid that she might become a president. So they ignore her. She might be too good to be true. And I got to give a shout out to Greta Van Susteren. You're a fair lady. And I'll tell you, if I was a woman, I'd want you in my corner. I definitely wouldn't want Now, Naral, and all the phonies who can't be found when a woman's in trouble. But you, Greta, you stand by a womanhood. And I got to say, you definitely should get the Legion of Merit. The communists are against a nuclear energy, yet they have no qualms about sailors sleeping on top of an aircraft, a nuclear reactor, for 25 years, not to mention the submarine service. I feel I have watched the star perform badly on American Idol. Already the fans are calling for the Apollo hook for Obama. The party of death can no longer blame Bush, though they will try. I watched a liberal documentary last night that held me spellbound. It showed a liberal Columbia-style university gal sticking a microphone in the face of Mississippi crackers, who was selected for having no teeth, big beer bellies, and disheveled. The racist attitude was a plus for this interviewer as she stuck the mic into a friendly face and asked, "Are you voting for Obama?" I must say, they did not pull any punches and said what was in their heart, as opposed to the standard northern liberal cliche, "Some of my best friends are Negroes, and I even danced with one." I must say, the girl reported fairly, but then I was not privy to the cutting room floor. I also saw people who hold age-old prejudices and admit it. But I also saw people who love this country above all. Above all! One black man said to the interviewer, "You liberals come down to Mississippi looking to find racism, but are you telling me they don't say the N-word in Chicago, New York, and Boston? Why don't you leave Mississippi alone?" I also saw a hardworking lady in her 40s saying she just opened her 401k statement and cried, and she was down, I forget if she said $50,000 or $250,000. And I also saw a guy, when asked, "What will you do if Obama gets elected?" he broke down and he cried. Not for the fact that a black man would be president for this country, but he cried for his country, which he now believes is finished as the great spirit of America. I also said to myself that these are the boys who answer the call with their lives when the Liberty Bell chimes. They have been answering the call from Bunker Hill to Baghdad. Grit is more than a breakfast dish. And I'll tell you something else. When it comes to the Confederate flag, it's a battle flag. And there's only two people who should be allowed to touch it, to take it down. Those who fought against it and those who fought for it. And nobody else. Everybody else is disqualified. I also said to myself that these are the boys who answered the call with their lives. And I also saw more fighting spirit at McCain rallies than McCain had. He should have sat down and let the audience speak. The audience had more pee and vinegar than McCain had. McCain was his own worst enemy. And I'll tell you what turned me off on McCain. His first inauguration announcement that he was running and he was presented to the American people as the Republican candidate. The first words out of his mouth were to praise Ted Kennedy. I thought Ted Kennedy was running. So he didn't have the fighting spirit. And anybody who thinks that Sarah Palin wouldn't make a good vice president is lying. You're going to tell me? Do you know that when Al Gore dies, they're going to give him a funeral? They're going to give him an enema and bury him in a shoebox. So, now what have we now, says the fine old woman. We have reverse mortgaged our children's inheritance to satisfy the greedy. You have an automobile union walking out of final negotiations as GM stock is $2.80 a bankrupt share. You have more pork in an unread ripoff bill than at Carl Amos Farm. Never in the history of America has the American people been hustled, conned, and pointed in the wrong direction. After this bogus 1,000-page financial atrocity has been shoved down the America's throat unread, the Democrats then turned and flew off to Rome to get Uday Pelosi's womb blessed. In case you don't know the sneaker of the house, she is the Catholic grandmother who votes to kill kids and burn the American flag while cutting the ribbon at the grand opening of the Iranian-Syrian IED factory in Damascus, licking the sandals of Bashar al-Assad. That is why she had to have a bigger military plane, because her fuel is free, and her party climbed on board while chastising CEOs for having corporate jets in the Stone Age. The CEO of GM should have come to D.C. in a covered wagon, just like Congressmouse Nadler and Senator Chuck Schumer does. They too voted to kill kids and burn the flag. Now they're in charge of recovery, along with Christopher Dudd and Barney Pigs in a Blanket Frank. Let's skip the first 100 days, because we may not get that far. Obama's first money-saving move was to turn loose the Gitmo tribe to save on halal meals. And then he told the military he was cutting their budget by 10%. But he added $50 million for a dog run in San Francisco, where sleeping anti-American dogs lie together. And then he appointed tax cheats to the highest offices in the land. Does anybody know the words to tradition? The Commerce Secretary resigned before doing any commerce. Hillary Clinton is playing Madam Caterpillar, sipping sake, looking for the honorariums, imitating Madeleine Albright, who was sipping champagne from Kim Il-Nook's gouache. Too bad Edward Blackbeard Teach is not alive to see this treasury rape. They used to hang pirates, and now they sell them Senate seats. The House and the Senate won't have time to bury it all. Now you see it, and now you don't. And special thanks to those who held the ranks. Benedict Arlen Specter, Olympia Snowjob, and Susan Tom Collins from the once great state of Maine. If these three had been at Nathan Hale's hanging, they would have shouted, "Crucify him." Arlen even changed sides to vote to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11, SJR-7. But who's counting traitors? The Republican Party gave us these rat-cateers. Three rat-cateers. You know, the three musketeers, the three mouseketeers, these are the three rat-cateers. Aside from that, I have no complaints. I have to go now and clean my musket. When was the last time we did something great, like go to the moon, cure polio, and free the drug slaves? Some bad news, though. A Kuwaiti professor is talking about 4 pounds of anthrax in a suitcase that can kill 330,000 Americans in an hour. Isn't that great? Talk to your boys and girls. Keep the faith. It's all you got left.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the reins once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-a, I go my way, back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the reins once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-a, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
Yeah, now today they smoke the lowly Jensen weed, and you can't tote a 44.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. Yours truly has spent some time in the Middle East, and one of the things that I've come to believe, being in the Middle East, is that... this rule doesn't apply to everybody, but in general, I find that Arabs have no creativity, especially in business. They can take another man's idea, but they cannot create an idea. I don't know what it is, if it's the culture, it's they don't have to do it, but it's been my experience that that they can't create. They don't have the American ingenuity. And I'll give you a common example. If you went into business in the Middle East, and let's say you went into business in Kuwait, and you opened the store to sell a product, and you did very good, your competitor would try and buy the same product and undermine you on the price. He would not try to create a superior product or a different product and build his own following based on his product. So if you had WD-40 in the Middle East, then the average competitor in the Middle East would also have WD-40. He wouldn't try CRC. He wouldn't want to develop a CRC and have an exclusive for himself. He would rather undersell you the same product. And that's why I say they have no creativity. Now, you could say that the attack on 9-1-1, part two, because don't forget the Clintons brought Osama bin Laden here, okay, in 1993. And they gave him an open visa to come and kill us in New York. Never forget that this war started not on Bush's watch. It started on Clinton's watch and was encouraged on Clinton's watch. Okay? So don't give this guy a pass because he brought death to New York. And he looked the other way when Americans were dying all over the world, including Rwanda. Okay? This guy does not like to get involved, especially when he's making good money. And that's the job of the President of the United States, isn't it? To make good money for himself? Let's see how much Obama leaves with at the end of 4 years. He's starting with $4 million. Let's see what he leaves with at the end of 4 years. Clinton left with $107 million that we know about. That's a pretty good job, huh? But this is what I'm disturbed about tonight. You have heard guys like O'Reilly and Mike Savage screaming bloody murder about closing the borders. Okay? And now you can see that Mexico is falling to the drug lords. And there's going to be a terrible slaughter down in Mexico. And we're going to be overrun at the borders by asylum seekers. And I'm now going to refer you to my book and go back to ingenuity and creativity. And you could throw in the buzzword self-inflicted wounds. On page 17 of my book, the first chapter in the Spirit of America Party book is the most important chapter. It was more important than abortion, which is my fourth chapter. My second chapter is terrorism, and my third chapter is flag burning. Okay? But this chapter was the most important to me, because I have lived in a drug-free world. I grew up in a drug-free New York City. 5% of the people did drugs. 2% of the people did drugs. There were no gates when I grew up. There were no burglar alarms. The only one that had a burglar alarm was the bank. I grew up drug-free. Yet all around me, there are casualties. In my own family, there are casualties, just like there are casualties in your family. And if you don't have a casualty in your family, you haven't learned about it yet. And it all starts with the pablum of the heroin user, which is pot. You see, they give you the simple drug to get you started. But everybody who ODs began on pot. And they die on the pot. That's for junkies, that's usually where they die, with a needle in their arm, slumped in the toilet. So, I told you, drugs suck is my first chapter. And there on page, let me see if I got it, on page 17, yeah, on page 17 I create a scenario. Now my book was, I started working on my book right after 9-1-1. And but I say in this book, as I'm working, I'm building a war against drugs, okay, and a pitch why you should never use the first one, okay. Now everybody says don't say no to drugs, no, say F you to drugs, and don't do the first one, and you'll never be a junkie. That's the only way that you can guarantee that you'll be drug-free your entire life, is you can't do the first one. You cannot do the first one. Picture four terrorists sitting at a table, their faces not covered, surrounded by bodyguards with faces covered. On the table lies gold, tola bars, diamonds, cocaine in bags, marijuana, and ecstasy from Canada. As each one speaks, and Arizona too. As each one speaks, he is identified in subtitle print. And think about this. Sammy the Bull Gravano was put in the witness protection program, and they hit him in Arizona. And what did he do? He opened up a crystal meth factory with government protection. You think about that. As each one speaks, he is identified in subtitle print. Abu Nidali, he's from Hezbollah, a PLO, and Lebanon. And he says, we must cover our needle America tracks. The Americans are blocking our funds. We must use golden diamonds to pay our martyrs. Yasser Fatura from Hamas in Cyprus says, it is good that American kids buy drugs. Every day you buy a joint, you kill a Mexican kid. You think about that. Every day you buy a joint, you're killing a Mexican kid. You're raping a Mexican girl. Thank you very much. Everybody laughs. Fahid Ghati from Al-Qaeda in Iraq, holding up a joint, says, they love this. We sell these like hotcakes. Thank you, American sucker kids, for making us strong. Everybody laughs. Sheikh Mahmoud from the Taliban in Pakistan says, soon we open Kill Americans franchise ecstasy boutiques made in USA. They go wild with laughter. Into the room steps a guy dressed as an American with a suitcase. They only speak Arabic amongst each other. Ali, you are leaving for the USA to sell drugs? What route are you taking this time? He replies, the easy route, the drug route. This trip, cocaine. Next trip, smallpox. Everybody laughs. One guy shouts, we don't kill them, they kill themselves. Everybody laughs. Ali says in Arabic, I have to go now. They ask, how are you going to get through? They are looking for Arabs. Arab? What Arab? My name is Jose. He puts on a baseball cap and he says, adios amigos. Kill them all, Ali. Everybody laughs. He looks back into the room and says, hey kids, and got dope? Everybody laughs. The reality check says, dope is no laughing matter. Did you aid the enemy today? Now, why am I telling you about this? Because I often said, how are you going, when you opened the suitcase that comes up from Mexico, how are you going to know that you are snorting cocaine or you're snorting anthrax? Now, you just mark those words and hold on 1 second. I'm going to come back. I'm going to tell you about something. You know, they got tunnels under the Mexican-American USA border, just like they have in Gaza. Okay? Somebody just sent me this today. This is from a memory. It's an organization that takes periodicals from the Middle East, translates them from Arabic to English. And this came to me tonight. Now, I just told you the story, the little clip about bringing germ warfare in with the drug, through the drug routes, because the drug routes are protected. The cops are all paid off. Everybody looks the other way, and they can get easily delivered to wherever they got to go. Okay? On Al Jazeera TV, a Kuwaiti professor today suggests a biological attack on the White House. A Kuwaiti professor. Do you know that if this Kuwaiti, if it wasn't for Americans, this Kuwaiti, his head would be on a pike today, unless he escaped before Saddam got there. Because had Saddam been left to his own devices in Kuwait, there wouldn't be a Kuwaiti alive today. There wouldn't be a Kuwaiti alive after 2000 and... 93, there wouldn't have been a Kuwaiti alive after 96. They would have all been gone. It's only a 2 million population. Saddam could have taken them out real quick. Yeah, and so this Kuwaiti professor, he's on Al Jazeera TV, and he's suggesting a biological attack on the White House, and he prays for a bombing of a nuclear plant on Lake Michigan. And you know, there's a lot of Muslims in Michigan. I call it jokingly the Islamic State of Michigan. Okay? And they got flag burners there like Debbie Stabenow and Carlos the Jekyll Levin representing the United States. So you know they can be compromised very easily. They can be duped. But here's what this guy is saying. His name is Abdullah Al-Nafisi. 4 pounds of anthrax in a suitcase this big, carried by a fighter through tunnels from Mexico into the U.S., are guaranteed to kill 330,000 Americans within a single hour. How do you like that? He doesn't say 300,000. He's got the number down to 330,000 Americans in a single hour. Okay? That's one suitcase. If it is properly spread in population centers here. What a horrifying idea. 9/11 would be small change in comparison. Am I right? He says. There is no need for airplanes, conspiracies, timings, and so on. One person with the courage to carry 4 pounds of anthrax will go to the White House lawn and will spread this confetti all over them. And then they will do these to the cries of joy. It will turn into a real celebration. They can't wait to give out candy again. And you're worried about reading them their rights? You think about it. This guy's on he's on the equivalent of Marine killing MSNBC. He's on Al Jazeera TV. And he probably gives speeches in mosques. And all he needs is a handful of faithful followers. It only took 20 people, 19 of which made planes. Made 3 planes? 4 planes? 5 to a plane? To break our hearts on September the 11th? And now you got a president who wants to close Gitmo. You got a president who wants to read a terrorist their rights. You think about it. You may be praying for Bush to come back.
A gargantuan explosion. Oh my God, I don't believe it. The northeast corner has exploded in the most incredible explosion. Flames are flying out of the building. They're 5-10 stories high now. Black billowing smoke. The building corner, the whole entire corner is gone.
Both World Trade Center buildings in New York City right now, heaps of rubble. At 9 o'clock this morning, a plane crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan.
I heard the noise. I was in my office and I heard the guy screaming. So I ran out, and everybody was saying, oh my God, and they're in tears, they're crying. Everybody's upset.
I was trying to make phone calls. I looked up, and I heard an explosion, and then I saw everybody in the street react first. People crying, people on the ground, everybody lying down. And then I looked up, and I saw this huge plume of smoke, and the tower just crumbling. And it just turned into a huge plume of smoke, and next thing you know, there's smoke in one tower.
Shortly after 9 o'clock, a second plane crashed into the second tower.
Oh my God. I heard a noise coming in incredibly low, and then I was standing here looking out the window, and I knew it was going to crash and something was going to hit the building. I dove away from the window because I thought the explosion was going to implode the windows and I'd be shattered with glass flying out. As soon as it hit, I came back, and there was a ball of flame.
I'm still shaking. I saw it hit the tower and flame everywhere.
Then minutes later, President Bush in Sarasota, Florida, called those crashes an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy.
Today we've had a national tragedy. 2 airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. Terrorism against our nation will not stand. May God bless the victims, their families, and America.
Then an aircraft crashes near the Pentagon just outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia about an hour after those attacks in New York.
Looking out our 12th floor windows at 1600 Wilson Boulevard in Roslyn, Virginia, and I watched this. It looked like a commuter plane, 2-engine, come down from the south, real low. Proceed right on and crash right into the Pentagon.
Then shortly after 10 o'clock this morning, one World Trade Center tower in New York collapsed.
Lots of smoke, and then the next thing I heard an explosion, and the building on the top, the south building, just crumbled.
Just after 10:30 this morning, the other World Trade Center tower collapse.
We were standing there looking up at flames coming out of the building and smoke billowing out of the building and police and FBI everywhere, and suddenly we heard a rumble and the sky was full of smoke. Everybody read, crowds of people running through, I mean, shouting out to each other not to fall into the subway entrances.
So it's just truly amazing, because yesterday afternoon we were sitting in the World Trade Plaza Center having lunch, and so now those two buildings are completely destroyed.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the
itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. We will do whatever is necessary to protect America.
Hi, you boys and girls. It's me again. You know what, I was thinking about Nancy Pelosi, and as soon as she became Speaker of the House, the very first move she made was she demanded that she got from the Air Force the biggest jet available. And I said, well, you know, I could understand that. She has a big entourage, and they got to stuff a lot of people on those seats. You know, everybody that she owes favors to, and everybody who owes her favors. But I had no idea the reason she wanted the bigger jet was to go to Syria so that she could lick the boots of the biggest bomber in the Middle East, Bashar al-Assad, the guy that's responsible for the murder of Maronite Christians in Lebanon, and the guy that's responsible for the assassination and blowing Prime Minister Hariri into a hole so big that they had to send ropers down to get the body out, what was left of it. Unbelievable. And this guy is the master distributor for Iranian IEDs that are killing our troops every day. He is responsible for more dead Iraqis and more dead Americans than anybody else. And what is the first move that this woman makes upon seizing a government office? She flies to Syria along with her entourage of Kucinich the communist and Banzai the baby's Nelson. He went a month before to warm up the seat. And if you look up those people, just put in Nancy Pelosi goes to Syria, Senator Nelson goes to Syria, Jimmy Carter goes to Syria, and you'll notice they're all sitting in the same chair around the same Ottoman table. It's like it must be the Democrat Ottoman. What a disgrace. She never visited the troops. She only voted not to count their absentee ballots, and she voted no cranberry sauce at Christmas. Yet she went down the street and watched the IEDs being delivered into Iraq to kill American troops.
So I'm taking my vengeance out. I'm writing a song about Uday Pelosi, and it's called Nancy Pelosi Just Wrote Me a Letter. So hang in there. I'll do it for you. Is it 8 o'clock yet in the morning? Has the bars opened? Yeah, the bars are open, but be careful going in. Don't step on Ted Kennedy or Leaky Leahy. Hi, you boys and girls. It's Captain Boycott. And there's a lot of talk about the Democrats have taken over and they're spending money like it's never going out of style. I understand that Nancy Pelosi wants a C-257 or something like that, the big Boeing. So I thought I would sing a song about it. And there's an old Joe Cocker song called My Baby Just Wrote Me a Letter. So I'm going to do it for you in my American brogue. We may need a ticket for an airplane. Martha refuses to take a fast train. Humble days are gone. The Dems are carrying on. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. She don't care how much money you throw away. She's got to get back to San Francisco every day. 2 hours in D.C., and then she's going home. Stick around, the story gets better. She wants a jumbo jet that can fit her lifestyle, yay, 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 yay. One with a shower and a 42-seat aisle that can take her away. Listen, Mr. Taxpayer, it's only 300 G's a ride, and the 42 toilet seats are made of Norgahyde. Democrat days are back, and you're paying the tax. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. I stand in line for an airplane. Half my country's using cocaine. Humble days have vanished. Christians are being banished. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. She is holding back money for the troops in Iraq. But for her entourage, the masseuse is back. Look first, madam, at what you've done. Why not get a dragon ship and kill everyone? Give me my ticket for my airplane. Search that imam on the express lane. 9/11 days are here. I'm crying in my beer. Pelosi just wrote me a letter.
Hang in there, folks. We got one coming for you. Here's one for all you your Teflon heads.
Permit me to introduce myself. The name is Mr. Kick. I dwell in a dark dominion, away down by the river Styx. The devil has sent me here because I'm full of wicked tricks. And I'm such a popular fellow among all you lunatics. I teach a course in ruination from the devil's text. To fools who can't withstand temptation, step right up, you're next. I hail from a hollow hellhole down along the river Styx. Allow me to introduce myself. The name is Mr. Kix. When an old wolf starts prowling out among the young lambs howling, don't you know he's looking for kicks? When a young cat full of fly tricks spends his evenings chasing fly chicks, 10 to 1 he's looking for kicks. Kicks is always in demand, cause kicks is full of fun and laughter. Lots of folks get out of hand because it's only kicks they're after. Shady lady and her lover operating undercover. She knows sin and virtue don't mix. Her mama raised her prim and proper, but now while her pills couldn't stop her, when she's on a manhunt for kicks. For kicks, yeah, yeah. Looking for kicks. Just kicks, nothing but kicks. I'm Satan's simple servant sent to get you in a fix. So look me up just any time. Name is Mr. Kick.
You know that one of Obama's mentors is in jail. His name is Resco. He's a Syrian. And you know that Uday Pelosi and Senator Nelson, Bayonet the Babies Nelson, both went to Syria to lick the ankles of Bashar al-Assad. And they asked them to close the palace windows so they couldn't hear the Americans screaming as their legs were being blown off. And now it turns out that tonight, President Obama has authorized, according to Mike Savage, authorized sales of satellite material to Syria. Now, my question is, when was that deal done? Was that done when Nelson and Pelosi were there last time with little Kami Kucinich carrying the pillow? Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. You wonder how far away were we when we got sold out? Were we just a few steps away, or were we down the road already? It's enough to make you lose your cool.
I've always lived by this golden rule. Whatever happens, don't blow your cool. You gotta have nerves of steel and never show folks how you honestly feel. I've lived my whole life this way. For example, take yesterday. I breezed home happy, bringing her my pay. Her note read, so long, sappy, I have run away. I threw myself down across our empty bed, and this is what I said. But I was cool. So I went for the roadie at an all-night bar. Wound up so loaded I tore up my car. The judge threw the book at me, and when I read his sentence, there I said, she's the only one I have to thank. And I found her and pulled my gun and fired point blank. The shot whistled right straight past that woman's head and killed my hound dog dead. Say, be cool, stay cool, stay cool, keep cool, cool.
Did you miss a Valentine's Day? Well, I think I got a tune for you.
I've never loved before. come true. Here my dreams of love are wrong. I love you as I love you. When you were sweet, when you were sweet, 16. That night I went, I held your hand in mine, and once again you were my bonny bride. I kissed you as I did an old lang syne. As to the church we wandered side by side. I loved like I've never loved before. First I saw you on the village green. Come to me, hear my dreams of love are wrong. I love you as I loved you. When you were sweet, when you were sweet, 16.
Time and time again, and that Democrats get you into war and then they leave you to die on the battlefield, promising never to run again. All the time, Bush was slugging it out in Iraq. His enemies at home did more damage than Al-Qaeda could do. The media tore him up. The media made him so glad to go home to Crawford that it's unbelievable. But like I say, Democrats get you into war, and they leave you to die on the battlefield, promising to never run again, like LBJ told us when he left a 500,000 troops in Vietnam and said he would not run again. And they are quick to hand the bag off to a Republican, the bailout bag. And they gave it to Nixon, and 5 minutes after Nixon had the bag, they blamed him for the entire Vietnam War. And all the suckers bought it because Hollywood told us, and of course everything that Hollywood says is true. Well, now we have a body count in Afghanistan, a beginning body count of 561. And the responsibility for the continuation of the war in Afghanistan is solely on the shoulders of Osama bin Laden. And if he turns Afghanistan, which was a victory for us because we played our cards right when we went in there, if he turns it into a Vietnam, the blood of every American will be on his head and his party's head. So he better fight wisely. And I hear Mike Savage tonight telling us that the Brits were beat there twice, that the Russians were beat there, and the United States doesn't have a chance. And that's not true. We are different. We're Americans. We are better than average. We are better than most. Never forget that. And if you don't believe me, go to Normandy and ask the 6,000 guys who gave up their lives. You ask those World War II vets who went to four continents and kicked the crap out of all our enemies and came home in 5 years and built an industrial power the world has never seen. And tonight, the entire country's on eBay, and all we're getting are subsidies from the government, and you're going to pay more taxes, and I'm going to pay more taxes than you can imagine. They're going to tax everything, including your byproducts. Don't be too shocked if somebody knocks on your door with a toilet meter, because this government of bureaucrats can't make a buck. They can only take a buck. So having said that, I'm going to close with a tune that's dedicated to those World War II vets who gave us the entire world on a silver platter. Every scratch is 8,000 Americans who died for us in World War II. Count the scratches. No steroids. Just American spirit. The last time you heard that, comrade.